Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. American Men by Jordan Ritter Kahn is a work of deeply reported narrative nonfiction about contemporary masculinity in the United States. Rather than treating men as a single social problem or defending a fixed ideal of manhood, Kahn follows four men whose lives expose different pressures created by gender expectations, violence, race, sexuality, class, trauma, military culture, family, and social belonging. The book centers on Ryan, an amateur MMA fighter from the Aquizizne Mohawk Territory. Gideon, a West Point graduate and former baseball star associated with conventional white masculine status. Joseph, a Seattle law student confronting childhood sexual trauma. And Nate, a black trans man seeking stability in rural Ohio. Through alternating, intimate narratives, the book examines how each man measures himself against inherited ideas of strength, control, desire, and worth. Its purpose is less to offer a theory of men than to show how masculinity is lived, performed, resisted, and revised over time. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, masculinity is examined through lived contradictions rather than broad diagnosis. A central strength of American men is its refusal to reduce masculinity to a single crisis narrative. The book begins from a familiar public tension. Men hold disproportionate power in many institutions. Yet many men also show signs of social, emotional, educational, or physical distress. Kahn does not resolve that tension by declaring men either victims or villains. Instead, he studies how contradictory realities can coexist within individual lives. Ryan, Gideon, Joseph, and Nate each encounter masculinity as both a source of identity and a source of constraint. The book, therefore, shifts attention from abstract debate to daily negotiation. A man may benefit from certain gender expectations while also being harmed by the demand to appear invulnerable. A man may be drawn toward forms of toughness that provide recognition while also isolating him from honesty and care. This approach gives the book analytical weight because it treats masculinity as a social structure, a personal inheritance, and a set of habits that are repeatedly tested by intimate experience. Secondly, the four-subject structure reveals difference without forcing neat parallels. Kahn builds the book around four men from markedly different social positions, and that structure prevents the subject from becoming artificially uniform. Ryan brings questions of indigenous heritage, sexuality, fighting, and community expectations into the frame. Gideon represents a form of culturally rewarded masculinity shaped by athletic achievement, military training, physical presence, and whiteness. Yet his story also shows how fragile that status can become when admiration or control is disrupted. Joseph introduces the hidden effects of childhood sexual trauma, especially when the person carrying that trauma has been taught to manage pain privately. Nate broadens the inquiry by showing how masculinity operates for a black trans man facing economic insecurity, rural isolation, health vulnerability, and social threat. The value of this structure lies in contrast. The men share pressures around worth, violence, intimacy, and belonging, but their lives do not collapse into one lesson. The book suggests that any serious account of American manhood must account for race, sexuality, class, place, body, and history together. Thirdly, violence appears as performance. Inheritance, defense, and damage. American men treats violence not simply as an event, but as a language through which masculinity is often learned and displayed. Ryan's involvement in amateur MMA and barroom violence shows how physical aggression can become tied to recognition, pride, fear, and unresolved identity. Gideon's unraveling when his expected masculine status is challenged points to another form of violence, one connected less to fighting itself than to entitlement, alcohol, humiliation, and a perceived loss of control. Joseph's story complicates the subject further because he is not only someone shaped by military service and adult responsibility, but also someone carrying the consequences of sexual abuse from childhood. Nate's circumstances reveal violence as a surrounding threat connected to racism, transphobia, poverty, and geography. By placing these forms near one another, Kahn shows that violence in male lives is not one thing. It can be chosen, suffered, normalized, hidden, feared, or redirected inward. The book invites readers to ask what social rewards make violence legible as manhood, and what kinds of support might make other responses possible. Fourthly, interior reporting makes private shame and self-worth visible. The book is notable for its intimate narrative method. Kahn reportedly spent years interviewing and following his subjects, and the result is an interior style focused on perception, memory, fear, and self-interpretation. This matters because many of the pressures the book studies are not fully visible from the outside. Masculine ideals often operate through private comparison, the imagined gap between the man someone believes he should be and the man he feels himself to be. That gap can appear in a marriage under strain, in a fighter hiding his sexuality, in a former golden boy losing confidence. in a trauma survivor trying to explain pain he has not fully named, or in a trans man trying to establish safety and belonging. Kahn's method gives analytical substance to emotions that are often dismissed as weakness or treated as purely personal failings, by showing how shame, longing, and fear accumulate over time. The book argues implicitly that masculinity is sustained not only by institutions and public norms, but also by internal scripts that men may struggle to revise alone. Lastly, community emerges as the practical alternative to individual exceptionalism, although American Men does not appear to offer a prescriptive program. One clear implication is that healing cannot depend only on private willpower or exceptional toughness. The four narratives repeatedly show the limits of solitary self-management. Men are often encouraged to solve distress by becoming harder, more successful, more sexually assured, more dominant, or more emotionally contained. Kahn's subjects suggest that these responses can deepen isolation when the underlying need is for recognition, safety, honesty, and dependable relationship. The book is especially attentive to the difficulty of forming community when a man feels ashamed, threatened, dislocated, or unable to match a culturally approved image. This makes the book distinct from works that discuss masculinity mainly as ideology. Its practical insight is relational changing masculinity requires other people, not only new ideas. Friends, partners, family members, peers, and communities can either reinforce damaging scripts or create space for more truthful self-understanding. The book's realism lies in showing that such change is uneven, costly, and dependent on social conditions. In conclusion, American Men is best suited for readers interested in gender studies, narrative journalism, contemporary social issues, trauma, identity, and the changing meanings of manhood in the United States. It will also be useful for readers who find broad arguments about men too abstract and want to understand how masculinity is experienced in ordinary, conflicted, and unequal lives. The book offers intellectual benefits by connecting gender expectations to race, sexuality, class, military culture, family roles, violence, and community without flattening those differences into a single theory. Its practical value lies in helping readers recognize how silence, shame, and performance can shape male behavior, and why empathy does not require ignoring harm. Compared with many books on masculinity, American Men stands out because it relies on immersive portraits rather than manifesto, self-help formula, or statistical overview. Kahn's approach is specific, patient, and character-driven. The result is a book that does not ask what is wrong with men in the abstract, but instead examines how particular men inherit, perform, suffer under, and sometimes reconsider the demands placed on them. If you would like to support Jordan Ritter Kahn, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.